Hi, everybody. The Wednesday, August 20 Employee Assembly meeting is called to order at 12:18. We're going to go ahead and get started, and then we'll take a break, hopefully, when some food arrives. So first off, we have Linda Folkson. Yep. And Adam Kleinberger here from the Ombudsman's Office, and they are going to talk to us about the employee representative volunteers that we're going to be helping the system with. And also, Alan Littman is here, and you'll also be speaking with us regarding this?
As necessary.
Thank you. Go ahead, Linda.
We're very pleased to be here, and whenever we touch your group, we can't resist to tell you a little bit about the Ombudsman Office, but then we'll just take 2 minutes and then go on to talk about the employee reference. So the Ombudsman Office has existed at Cornell since 1969, and we've been known to be a safe place for all Cornellians, students, faculty, staff, for any problem, issue, conflict, something that is in some way interfering with what Cornell experience. We're confidential, off-the-record place for people to come talk about. So that's in general what we do. Am I speaking loud enough, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So a kind of add-on role, if you will, is that there's a policy in human resources, Human Resource Policy 6.11.4, which is the grievance policy, that provides that any employees who want to file a grievance, and generally that if an employee has been disciplined. So if they want to go ahead and file a grievance, then they have an opportunity to receive some help with that in the form of an employee representative. And the policy goes on to say that that the employee is free to find that either to represent themselves or to find whoever they want. Maybe they have a friend or something like that to serve as their employee representative. But if they don't have someone, that they can turn to the Ombudsman Office to find someone. So it doesn't really say how we will help to find someone. So since I've been in the office a little over 5 years, we've developed a list of 6, 7, 8 people. And for one reason or another, for instance, Ari has been on our list, and he's moved on to another opportunity. Our list has frankly dwindled. And so we're here because we thought it would be helpful to partner with you in further developing the list and making sure that the community knows about this opportunity. So we thought maybe we'd have just a discussion about our idea in terms of what that might look like and see what you think. So basically our idea in terms of finding people who would want to provide support to a fellow employee who is in a situation where they want to file a grievance. So our idea is that any of you, given the role that you currently play, may want to avail yourself of that opportunity, or you might know people in the community. But in a more kind of formalized way, what we were thinking is, and this is kind of an analogy, that with the university assembly, help find people, volunteers who sit on the university hearing and review board. And that there is a mechanism for that because there is a subcommittee that's called the judicial committee that sort of advertises the volunteer opportunity and kind of vets people and then makes recommendations. So our thought was, and we're here to kind of get your feedback and see what questions you might have, but our office and we work with Alan Littman's office in the capacity, and so this is their side as well. And perhaps you would develop a kind of a committee to look into this opportunity, to sort of advertise to the community, if you will, and then to kind of interview people and make recommendations to people who would want to serve as employees. So that's kind of in a nutshell why we're here to answer any questions that you would like. Anything that Alan or
I would just say that it's a very important role. People come to the Ombudsman in this context. Grievances, obviously, is a stressful conflict moment, like always use another set of eyes, another set of ears, in terms of helping them present their case, understand what their rights and responsibilities are, and to act as a, you know, an advisor, not an official sort of counselor type of, but just an advisor, know something about Cornell, know something about the way the grievance policy works, and can help filter what the person wants to present. Ultimately, to our office, if it gets to the final step of grievance, which I do. So it's a very valuable function, and I encourage members here, who I know personally as well, to consider the role, and also consider some way to get the word out to the general community to recruit people to this as well.
As our office goes, we have a few tenants that we abide by, one being informality, meaning we don't get involved in formal processes or investigations. We don't investigate things like that. When an employee is talking with us and maybe thinking about availing themselves of this process and then eventually maybe meeting an employee rep, there's a line there where we step back. We wouldn't act as an employee rep or something close to that because it would be advocating, it would be kind of stepping over the line into what eventually is a formal process. Our role is before that. And so it is a key role, and I just wanted to make sure you see that bright line because our tenants are really, our principles are important to us, and I just want to make sure you realize we don't do that type of work. We are, like, informal, and that's a central piece of the work we do. So, again, just as a blueprint, an employee's talking with us, they get to that point where they're thinking about putting a grievance in under this policy, and they're saying, maybe we've worked with them for a while on what their problem is and what's happening. And we would say to them, well, if you need someone to help you with this, there are employee reps, and we can help put you in touch with one. And at that point, we would explain this to the person. We would be pulling back and stepping back and not able to talk with you once you're in that. We think it's nodding, so I will repeat my book. There's also this handout, just in case anyone didn't get one, there's a piece of paper up here.
And the handout discusses two roles. And as Evan said, for the reason here today is we don't prefer perform the role of employee representative, but we do, in cooperation with Alan's office, provide training at least yearly, and we do it more often to people who are the reps to sort of go through the discipline policy, the grievance policy, how it works, what their role is as a rep, and we're happy to consult them. So we're certainly available to people who want to volunteer.
So you do the training. How long is it, and where does it occur?
Generally, the training's been a couple of hours, and we've arranged it using our respective calendars and people who are volunteering to find a time that hopefully works for everyone. It's been yearly. There's no reason to get credit for more of that, for instance.
And you have a pool of people to draw from in case someone's totally swamped at that time of the year?
That is a great question. Yeah, I mean, that's part of why we're here. And we completely recognize that most everyone is swamped, and so we actually don't like to call on someone more than twice a week. And that's part of why we have a pool of people that are excited, and now it's time to move on to the next.
What are the time requirements like, for that once a semester? What's the average, length of time you would spend an employee?
Basically, for the employee representative, there's meetings with the employee initially, and that can be, say, an hour or thereabouts. And, every situation is, of course, different. Sometimes people have already written their grievance. Sometimes they need another set of eyes to help with it, so that can or cannot be part of your role. Then there's the step one meeting that the employee rep would attend with the employee, and those are generally booked for a period of an hour. So it would be making sure that someone's available to be a support person at that meeting. And step two is when Alan's office gets involved in sort of the review process. If the person wasn't satisfied with the step one, now if we took it any more than I can, that's probably another hour or two of time, is that right?
Right.
And haven't seen that so much, but it can go on to step 3 as well. That's a rare situation that I was having at that time.
I think the initial, lack of work or time is really connecting with that employee in the zone of time that's allowed, which is a certain amount of time, right? They need to put their grievance in right away. And so you want to connect with them, and then usually they're working on the actual words that they're putting in the grievance and maybe having a little bit of support or help from that employee rep. So I think that initial time is usually the most important, but it's on the hot stove,
And incidentally, the policy says that the employee has 10 days from the day of the incident, usually the day that they receive the discipline to file, so it is time
sensitive. I mean, the prefer a lot of
Well, I can say with temporary employee reps, I think people have generally not had to do more than that.
It's hard to say because also sometimes people say, okay, well, I'm ready. I need a rep. I'm going to put this, grievance in. And they may get together for the first hour, and then it's possible they decide they don't want to do it. So I don't think every time they get that, it goes to the business or anything like that.
And we don't know to hear that.
We don't know.
That they have a different kind of policy.
Because there's no obligation to tell us. We're out of it at that point. In general, people don't have an obligation to
There is some windowing process, because I only see maybe two step two grievances with non-bargaining a year. One through a year hired the representative on the last case that we had. And maybe that was the only one. So we only see 1 or 2 years that get to step two.
But you wouldn't know how many were at one
point. Right. I think there was one more hand over
here. Is there a mechanism once you meet with the employee and let's say maybe you don't align or you really don't
align.
Yeah, you don't really see their side of it and you think that it's perfectly justifiable what's happened and really make a mistake. What is there a mechanism to sort of bow out gracefully and
We wouldn't want someone to proceed unless there is a comfort level on both sides. But your role is not to necessarily agree. Your role is to help the person achieve a fair process, because Cornell is offering a grievance process, which Cornell frankly doesn't have to do, but they're offering it so the person is able to sort of offer their side of things. And so you're the conduit to make sure the employee is able to do that. But you don't have to agree that or disagree that it's right that the person be disciplined because they were late once or whatever that
issue is. Sure. Like less evaluative and more supporting what they decided they want to push forward. Which that role's not for everybody. certainly if people got together and there was some other disconnect or it wasn't a good match somehow, certainly either person could come back and say, maybe I should hook up with a different employee.
And sometimes people will have quite an understandable emotional reaction to what someone who has just done. It's totally appropriate, if you'd like to step off and have someone else do that.
One more just logistical thing there before is, At its best, the process is that this employee needs a rep, and there's this roster of reps. They, are not going to, if they look at the name, usually we kind of talk with them a little first, but, if they have a problem with someone or someone's too close to them in their department or whatever, there's other people there for them to pick. So, theoretically, you're avoiding some of those connections if they need to be avoided.
Is there some allowance of paid leave for a representative to use some time to meet with the person?
It get the policy between the
offices. Right.
I think there is, of course, it's always subject to supervisor approval.
Right.
But in that case, then there should be, there's a time off for university mm-hmm. business.
For the, yeah.
I have it right here for the language.
And
this is for both exempt and non-exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is reading from the actual.
Right.
So, release time for participation in grievance procedure. So, there's first supervisory approval and so on. Non-exempt employees, an employee's grievance and or his representative, if one is utilized, will each receive a maximum of 8 hours of paid release time per calendar year at the regular rate of pay for hours spent in preparation for the grievances and during the grievance meeting, step 1 through 3, as set forth in this policy, if such time cuts across regularly scheduled work hours. Such time should be reported as paid leave in the time collection system utilized by the employee. And then for exempt employees, it says exempt employees, whether a grievance or a representative participating in this procedure, will receive the initial
cost. Does anybody have any other questions? Yes.
So if only one or two a year make it to step two, now it sounds like there's a pretty good percentage of resolution at step one, or do most people just drop it?
Hard for us to answer since we're not a part of the form this process really at all. And folks who may have talked with us several times in order to get to a decision maybe that they want to do this, again, they don't have any obligation to check back with us. All the cases we see as ombudsman, you know, people can come and not come again. You know, they don't really have to tell us and when they do, it's hard for us to relate more than just generally what the outcomes are because of the confidentiality. You know, the way I think about it, I think as Alan said, only a couple have gone to step two, let's say, in the past year, and another handful got started. It's tough for us to say what happened at the step one with those grievances.
So I think one of the things that was in sort of your initial presentation was understanding where the recruitment for this pool of folks could maybe live and suggesting that maybe the EA sort of be that place. I chair the CJC, so familiar with the recruitment of the Hearing Review Board, which we actually just changed this past semester. We used to go out and interview and then come back, but Ari was nice enough to create sort of an online form. And we vetted it with Mary Beth Grant and the Judicial Close Counselors and all the various folks involved to try to get as robust of questions that were standardized so that we could allow folks time to sort of put their input in. And then we evaluate based on an application. Based on the nature of everybody's busy schedules, we felt that to do, you know, get 3 applications rather than 3 interviews was much more manageable.
Yeah.
So we had a selection of, you know, a primary reader and a secondary reader for all the applications that we got. And then we went through and we ranked them on order and then made our recommendations to the UA. And I think it worked out really well in the selection because it didn't create the time suck to, you know, to everyone else for all the interviews and time that it would take to do those. So I think maybe exploring some sort of application, and I don't know if it's something that the rest of the EA feels that we want to take on, encouraging or promoting that, but I think that some sort of application process is fine, but I don't know if I would be supportive of asking a subcommittee of this body to go and have to interview folks and go through sort of those steps. But I do maybe think it'd be something that we should at least talk about as a group to see if it's something we want to tackle as an EA as a whole. Because I know it can be time consuming at times.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can just speak personally, that all sounds great to me. Where we're coming from in the ombudsman office is the policy says enough that people can have an employee rep, and we want to make sure that that's available for people. And at the same time, we don't have a comfort in being the office or entity that selects who those people are. the center for this. But however that happens, we need to be supportive of that. And if any way that we can help, whether it's training or as you develop online questions or help them to, you know, think about them, since we've been a part of the process, and for instance, know that it can be kind of an emotional thing, so if someone would want to think about that, you know, someone who's really struggling emotionally, you know, whether that's the right fit for the person to get yet, it would be the right question. So we'd be totally happy to help in any way. We just really don't want to do this problem.
Right, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So it's probably the best way to have as a group.
Any other questions for the other person's office?
Other than the general requirements, what other vetting do you need or qualifications or do you have?
So I think temperament is what we were just getting at. And then there are sort of some technical kinds of things in terms of familiarity, which anyone can develop. Familiarity with the two policies that come up, which is the grievance policy and the discipline policy, and we would be involved or happy to be involved in training, you know, sort of describing those processes, knowing how to help someone with their grievance, check anything. You know, just having the good discretion, being diplomatic, sometimes at a hearing, at a meeting, I should say, someone might become very emotional and the department head, maybe they're just the first time they're doing it, and they just, you know, for understandable reasons might not notice, it's up to the employee rep to kind of pick up on that in a diplomatic way, you know, that person says, is it okay if we need to take this break for 5 minutes? So those are sort of components.
Any other questions? That's it on questions. Well, thank you very much.
Well, we really appreciate the opportunity to be here. And should I kind of leave it that maybe we'd be essentially Richard in the future to see what we're going to develop?
Yep, we'll have a discussion and get back to you very shortly.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, guys. We want to take a quick break and grab a little something to eat.
Would you guys like to have any?
Okay. So, moving back to the I'll call for late additions to the agenda. Do we have any late additions to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. So we do need to approve the minutes from last meeting, and then actually, I believe...
Those are serious minutes, I just want to say.
Very serious minutes.
I didn't bring the ones for the 5th, so we can do those next time.
Okay, well, I'll wait on June 5th. Those were not approved because on June 19th, we did not have a quorum. So, looking at the minutes from June 19th.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Minutes have been approved. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the report from the chair. The Geneva Chip. Very big, big thank you to Gemma for arranging the meeting and getting all of the interesting presenters. We had 7 members attend. And we got 4 different presentations. One was on the pesticide research that they do up there. And interestingly enough, they seem to have some alternatives that may seem to be much safer. But because there's currently a hold on adding new approved pesticides, they're kind of still working towards getting to be able to use them. We also had a presentation on the outreach work that to the farm workers and on hygiene training, which was actually entertaining as well. Very good stuff and actually very important, and we all know as we get all of the news about this disease or that disease that's popping up in our food source, it's important to know that people are working on this, and it's not just the... if I have it correctly, it's not just the New York State farm workers that they do outreach to. It goes beyond that. So it's very interesting. We also learned about a new odor analyzer machine, which was super cool and awesome, which is, again, really good work that's being done in the food industry. If folks have a particular unpleasant odor that they're not too sure where it's coming from in their food processing, they can help analyze that. And that work is being done in conjunction with a lot of big money that comes in from big corporations. So that's pretty cool stuff. And then lastly, we did a bunch of strawberry taste testing.
That
was awesome. So plant breeding is very interesting. Obviously, a lot of work being done up there at the Geneva Station with plant breeding. We taste tested, I believe it was 6 different varieties of strawberries that had a very distinct and different taste. Raspberry plant breeding is done, and we learned that it usually takes about 12 years from the start of when they first crossbreed something to the point of where they may be able to release that for sale. And generally, there may be only 2 or 3 new varieties that are released to sale in 1 year, but it's a very long, ongoing process. I found the trip extremely interesting. And that was just a small piece of what goes on up there. We did have a conversation, as you saw in our minutes, that was fairly informal. Mostly it revolved around transportation back and forth between that campus and our campus for the employees, and also the fact that they don't have any place to, a cafeteria or any place to get food on campus. They have to go into Geneva for lunch. We did talk a little bit about some options and some possibilities to increase their wellness options, and one of them maybe would be working with the wellness program in setting up a small gym on site that's not really overseen by any employees from the wellness program, but just would be a self-serve type of location, which actually I thought sounded like a great idea. Yes.
So just a thought that occurred to me, because I think it's really great when we go out to Geneva and we hear all these things, but I know it's really hard for a lot of people to get out there, and it doesn't seem like a lot of the Geneva employees are coming to meet with us, which I think is part of the purpose. So maybe just for this group to think about maybe places on campus that we could visit rather than going out to Geneva, but to use that June meeting, which seems like maybe a little more laid-back time to have an extended meeting, and maybe go up to, like, the Vet College and hear kind of what they're doing or, you know, different things like that, just as another option. I don't think we should just stop going completely to Geneva, but maybe if we made that every other year or something like that. I mean, obviously, if there's a big issue, that's a little out there, but...
I think it's a great place to visit that we don't get to go to, and there's something different there every year, as long as we don't become an exhibition to them. Another thing that came up is their educational opportunities. Like, we have TC3 in partnership and the TC3 rep. They may want to explore more with the Finger Lakes Community College up there. If we could help them put anything in place like that, like a rep. And I just emailed the TC3 rep to see if it's a paid position or volunteer or what, or if they come from the TC3 side or if we provide them from the Cornell side. And he didn't really answer any of those questions that I asked him, but I'll try to make a point following up as well.
Thank you, Michelle.
I was also being mindful, I think, pretty soon, in a couple of years, we're going to have a New York Fish Tech Center. And so how are we doing now?
Has it been decided yet if we are representing?
Yeah,
we are representing.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay,
it
I'm all for that.
I'm all for that.
I think the finance, oh, he's not here. The finance chair needs to.
Well, also, with your veterinary idea, the veterinary did form a staff council to have a joint meeting with them to talk about the concerns of the construction, like to have a room or something for yoga or some sort of, because hospital employees can't get away from the hospital to go to wellness, so that the establishment that recognizes that we do need one place, you know, like not a courtyard or something to be able to go for addressing this.
Yes, it is. Very good. Very good. Thank you for those suggestions. I will move the employee survey. We did get a response back from President Scorton and Mary Opperman. I'm going to move that to the end of the agenda. We do have a guest with us today. AJ, is it? Sorry.
BJ.
BJ. And BJ, could you just tell us where you're coming from?
Sure. My name is BJ Cielo. I'm the new assistant director for the Cornell Commitment over in State Hall. For those of you that are familiar, the Cornell Commitment is one of the scholarship programs for undergraduates. There's three programs within it. Hunter R. Rollins, the third Cornell Presidential Research Scholar, is one of them. Always the longest one. My exam, the Cornell National Scholars, and most people are familiar with the Cornell tradition. So there are about 900 students in total. Tradition has about 500 students. The Rollins and my colleagues have about 200 students. I'm the position itself is new, but I'm doing a lot of new things with it. I'm starting the leadership program with it. So this is almost the end of my first year.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here.
And I did my own. So, end of my first year. This is almost my 10th year in Citadel, so I'm new, but not quite that new.
Well, welcome. And I hear that you're considering becoming a member. That is great, because we do have an opening. Another update is that Bob Blanco has resigned from the EA. He will be leaving the university and returning back to Manhattan to further his career. So that's great. But we'll move the survey down a little. We will have to go into closed session as those responses have not been made public as yet. And then we also have Mike Powell here today. Mike is the new Assistant Director of the Office of the Assembly. Sorry.
On July 1st, I entered a two-year phase assignment program. And so I had to step down from senior leadership in my division. I don't think you can really do that in a short time. My boss agreed. So we realized with RA leaving, and RA is so essential to running that office and some such great things over the years, that it's something I could sort of cover to figure out how we're going to replace RA. And so this more than likely will probably go through the year, as much for budget purposes, quite honestly, as the other reasons. One of the things we're struggling with, RA, as you probably know, has great IT skills. He's built a number of systems that I think all of you have used at one time or another. And so we need to figure out how to keep those cooking or figure out how to work with CIT or something to support them. So that's going to be a good job. But thank you for having me, and I look forward to the year.
Oh, I look forward to working with you. Thank you, Mike. I also wanted to add that we have a tentative date for the President's address to staff. Mm-hmm. And we have a tentative location. So we have been given October 1st as an available date, and Bailey Hall is actually available as well. Almost too easy. Does anybody have any questions or concerns or any discussion about whether or not that date doesn't work? Should we proceed with it? It's not a holiday.
No,
it's a Wednesday. It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. First, we were given September 30th, but the Bailey Hall is not available on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays during the academic year. But Tuesday works, and it's available. I would like to move ahead if anybody has any concerns? No concerns? Sure. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, what was the question? Is that? We were only given these two dates as a possibility from the President's office. So I was pretty happy that we were able to find one of them that worked.
So it wasn't Thanksgiving?
That wasn't Thanksgiving. It is very soon. We will have to get cracking on the planning piece. but yeah.
Do you think that by the time his address comes up, some of our survey results will be made public? Can we talk about that?
That's why I also think that this is a great timing for his address, because I certainly hope that by then they'll be released, and then we can have him speak with us about him.
Are we going to try to serve
him
again?
Yes, we've got a form of committee to talk
about. I think we need to. So if everybody's okay with the October 1st date, I will get that firmed up with everything. Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. I think I was just really pleased to get it on the calendar this early. I think that's really good timing, and again, timing, really good timing with the response to the survey. Okay, great.
We also, can I?
Yeah.
We also should think about who's going to get our award.
That was the next point, yes.
I can look up who the sort of other ideas were last year.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, 5 or 6 ideas
last
year.
So
revisit that.
Each year, the assembly does award a person or a group of people for their hard work. And if everybody could come with suggestions, maybe, Amy, would you mind emailing that out to the group?
Sure.
We do have some folks that have been brought up previous years who didn't make the final cut. It's a very competitive award. And we can go from there, but if anybody has any other suggestions, we can follow up with emails. And next meeting, we should probably get that decided, because we need to notify whoever. That's a great idea.
It's only been, what, the last 2 or 3 years?
4, I think. 3 or 4.
I know we did Gannett.
We did Gannett. We did Grounds.
Oh, we did.
We did Gannett. We did emergency responders. We did grounds, and we did Kuwali.
Yeah. Well, work day was the big one.
I can't say anything about that now. There were a lot of people put a lot of time into work day.
Yes. It was essentially
it was that one was essentially the people who were dealing with. That was when we had all of the student deaths and things. So. We recognize those groups.
Yeah, we got a
board committee. It was more of a put it on there to remind us that we can take them.
Yeah.
Did Eric get the first one?
No, it's our award to pick.
It's our award. Yeah, it's our award.
Yeah.
She did get.
We gave Mary an award.
Okay. So we were awarding the award in her honor.
I think that the group, which was Linda, Greg, and I, probably have to get together and talk about that. My personal recommendation would be that I don't know that we want to do that, because it takes away from the other award that we're giving.
And it's limited time. Maybe one of the employees did.
Yeah, maybe an employee day or something like that.
She is very involved in that. She runs it a lot. And she's always there.
It could be, and we may be able to roll it into the Poodle celebration as well.
Right. Yeah.
That may encourage some of the bigger wigs that she would like to see show up to help her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So next meeting, we'll come back with our suggestions on who should get the EA award. Okay. Moving on to old business, if everybody's ready. Transportation came up at the end of the year, last year, with a lot of folks being notified that the outlying out of Tompkins County routes were being discontinued to Cornell. I don't know if anybody has any follow-up from anybody, if they've heard anything. The last I know that the groups that had contacted the EA were meeting with Joe and discussing options.
They also went to, I can't remember her name now, but I had sent her information that Joe had sent to me about kind of what was happening. It's really on Cortland County's end. It's not on Tompkins County's end. So
mm-hmm.
it's their piece that is being discontinued. So we don't have a whole lot of jurisdiction and,
over anything.
Right. And also Tioga County.
Yeah.
Also discontinued a route. The Tioga County goes out 79, but also out 13 mm-hmm. towards Spencer. And that is causing some problems for staff who have relied upon that. And there was a question about if that was actually a benefit that they feel that they're losing because they no longer were given the Omni ride pass at a reduced or free cost.
Schuyler County is becoming as well.
Yes. Out towards Washington.
Yep.
Budget cut
cost. Is there any evidence that anyone has had to leave their job?
No, I haven't heard of that. Just mainly that folks feel like it's the benefit that's now just, you know, disappearing.
Rather than having this small cost for their Omni ride, they're now having to pay for parking and their gas and toll on their car and all of that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you have something to add, Greg?
I'm just thinking. I think one of the interesting things maybe is how the university can respond to these situations, even though it's out of their jurisdiction. To say we realize that these things are happening and maybe acknowledge it in a way that's not just here's a communication blast of here's what's happening, but more we understand, you know, here's some alternatives that we've thought of because we're the transportation experts. Doing something other than just notifying of discontinuation of service, I think would maybe just create some goodwill for those employees that really are being affected. I don't know. Personally, I understand the challenges that they're going through with. There's a lot of places in our country where you have to drive to work, and that's just the reality.
Our country is moving towards more mass transit and not encouraging everyone to drive to work as far as sustainability and stuff like that, and becoming more green.
In a small number of major metropolitan areas. I mean, the rural parts of our country are still you drive through.
But didn't Cornell just receive the Air Award for being one of the coolest and greenest campuses?
So Cornell is still providing that service with their TCAT. It's the surrounding counties that aren't supporting that. So what can Cornell do?
And I don't think that there's not a huge ridership. If the buses were really full, and it wouldn't be an issue. I just look at it. I mean, the bus stops like yay from my house, and I still prefer to drive because if I need to get out at lunch or pick up a sick kid or whatever, I don't want to take the bus. You know, I just don't think, you know, yes, we're striving towards that, but until people really get on board and start doing it, it's not going to change it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think to your point too, Greg, what I think would be beneficial for us is to kind of hear how transportation first hears about these changes and what they may be doing on the back end that we're not seeing, and all of a sudden it just seems like that communication is coming out, and maybe they've known for 2 months and have tried to do some work. So I think it would be interesting from the transportation side
to
more
discovery.
Yeah. But Joe retired, right?
Joe went to another university.
Oh.
Ohio University.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Person who now has got an interim basis following being recruited is Ben Quote by the organization. So that's the contact, Ben Quote.
How's the last name spelled?
K-U-O.
Okay.
Maybe we should take a look at the distribution of employees in some of those other counties. That's data I could very easily get, just so that we have a sense of what the level of impact are. So,
that'd be great.
Yeah, I can get that together.
Thank you. We also brought to Mary some concerns about the on-campus housing, the on-campus transportation, particularly out at the 4:30, 5 o'clock time period. She did say that she would look into it. I have not heard anything back. It was towards the end of the year as well.
Yeah.
I think one of the things she said was that it's, you know, because it's TCAT, that maybe we want to reach out to TCAT and have them ride the bus at those times and see what's going on. If I remember correctly. What? Well, but I mean that's the whole thing, you know, like have them see what the bottlenecks and what the issues are. Well, it's time, right?
Okay. Right.
So we're going to start right now.
Okay. Moving on to the committee appointments. Laura sent out, or handed out a really nice updated sheet.
I'm hoping it was updated for you correctly. That's why you have it.
Yeah.
It's been, and obviously Ari's going as well. And I think we mentioned it in our last phone conference, we don't really get a massive handbook with some of these. So if I've made an error, I apologize. I was taking the notes from one of our last meetings as far as who raised their hand and who did want to. Or then I did email you directly from seeing some past spreadsheets that I had forwarded from Bridget as well. So if the information is correct, great. If there isn't, just let me know. We are still looking at mainly more positions from outside of the EA to fill up the committees. There's a big gap in the education and in the communications committee. I'm working quite a bit with, not harassing, but, you know, contacting quite a few people to see if I can get those numbers up. One of the main concerns that I'm seeing is they want to know more details as far as what is being discussed at the meeting, what are the meeting dates and times, what are my flexibilities as far as getting out of work, things like that are the concerns from people that I am approaching. I did, you know, speak a bit with Lavanya, who's chairing the education one, about this and just kind of seeing if there is that flexibility available to the employees, if they voice it as far as times, meetings. So hopefully I can get those numbers up. There are a couple of weird little technical ones that I'll touch base with Amy. But other than that, hopefully moving forward well.
Thank you. Does anybody have any corrections from the list? Okay, great.
No, but I'm the only one on the personnel policy committee.
I know.
I am the committee. So.
I'm trying to put that.
If there's anyone else interested, I would be very open to another member.
What is it?
Well, what we've done in the past, and this is what I was going to throw out there, is we've really convened when somebody's brought up a concern with a policy. And so last year, we worked on the policy for bereavement.
Okay.
And that's, we were able to accomplish that. It was actually kind of a year and a half effort. And so that was what we worked on last year. We haven't, that I'm aware of, gotten anything new. I think Tom, you had had one concern with one policy, something that someone said in, but it wasn't something we could pursue. So really, we didn't feel it made sense for us to convene unless there was a policy that either came up here or that the employee got forward.
So I'll throw something out there because we keep talking about it, and this may be a perfect thing for the policy, but the policy on volunteering as
I
think that would be a great policy to look at.
I second
that. And I'd be happy to participate with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
There is already in the personnel policy some verbiage on how much time is allowed for volunteering, but I think it needs to be looked at again
and
a better understanding of what actually.
And I would say it's timely even with the survey response because that policy may have to change with Alan's looking.
Well, I'm happy to weigh in or have someone from my office. Volunteerism has at least two suggestions for me. One is time to volunteer to work on a project in tech. You know,
right.
Fewer volunteers.
Yeah.
The other is to serve on
Cornell-related
right.
activities, functions, visits, right. committees, et cetera. So any more fair games for the college, if I don't know what to do.
In my opinion, it's the university volunteerism, because I think that's a continued issue of struggle and a pain point for the EA, for our committees and whatnot. And if we can put something around that to help remove the negative connotation for volunteering and make it a really positive and an important part of your role at the university, I think that this would be a huge win for the EA, personally.
Especially if we could tie it in with career development.
Right.
Basically. So that would...
That's what I was saying.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I have found that word itself confuses.
I think that gets
even the programs I run at work, and you know, they were like, oh, can this person volunteer here? And it's just no. It's such a general term.
Cornell participation.
Or university stewardship.
Yeah. Cornell citizenship.
Right.
Yeah,
being a good citizen.
It really, really just confuses, and then people think can have connotations with it. So I think even just learning to define things better would help us in some way.
Okay. That's a good suggestion, Alan.
So if anyone, it sounds like
I'm joining personnel.
So that will be the topic this year, apparently. So if there's anyone else interested in joining,
that was just a suggestion.
That is what we do on the policy
committee
this year.
There's one
thing to do.
There's
that.
There's a topic for you in
the business. Oh, okay.
Ooh, we may be very busy. I may get off this committee.
Yeah. Do you have
time to volunteer? Well, I think we could jump to that in the new business, and actually Greg was the one that suggested this, the new policy on the health and personal leave, and I think that there needs to be additional clarification on what does it change for employees, or I think some people are a little bit confused about how that time can now be used.
So,
So I think, you know, the whole thing was to combine it, so instead of just having 3 personal days, if you need that 4th day because the plumber's coming, you don't have to take a vacation day for that, or
call in sick.
Right. Or, you know, people who have children and, you know, you get those 3 days of family care. Well, on that 4th day of family care, I'd rather, you know, I can take that as a health and personal leave day as opposed to having to, you know.
But I think
like
the question is that whether or not the employee is supposed to put in there plumber coming out of whatever the other, because there has been, I have heard it with some HRs going in saying, well, you didn't write why you took that personal day.
It's personal.
But I think that's the point. For folks where it has a real economic impact to their department, how employees are utilizing time, I think that that's one of those areas where people are saying, well, is it going to be a regular issue? You know, how do we address it? How do we prevent somebody from saying, you know, every third Friday I have a personal need that arises, and is that okay under our policy? And is it not? Is that within their right and their benefit to do so?
I think it is within, and Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it is within their right and their benefit to do so. I think one of the points that was made in the policy that was really clarified is you can't use it as vacation. So
right.
I can't schedule 3 personal days in a row because it's winter recess and my kids are home, so I need 3 personal days. No, I have to take that as vacation, and that's really specific. But if I need to take a personal day once a month because I've got personal things that nobody needs to know about, maybe I have doctor's visits or whatever, it's nobody's business. And, you know.
I mean, perhaps it's more of just the communication's not quite there to the general employee. Maybe they just, HR offices individually want to just track what they're being used for. I don't know. And that would be nice if we had that communication. So look, it will make no difference. You're still getting your personal day, but we would like to know how they're being used. I don't know. I know that's the concern you had when we brought it up, and I have heard it from others. It's just
my suggestion is I could circulate via Bridget the policy and the Q&A,
mm-hmm.
so everybody could read up on that. That's going to answer some of the questions up here.
Mm-hmm.
But the other questions that it won't answer, if we could tabulate that, I will come back to this meeting with Laura Jacoby and maybe another representative who has worked on this very closely and answer what the policy was intended to do, and then bring back HR counsel things that come up if there are disparities in the way policy is implemented. So that was one of the survey responses, right? Different wasn't about this policy, but we want to support uniform interpretation as much as possible.
Jerry?
I know from the last year's perspective, our policy is about how many people can be offered time, but the reason we take it off is it doesn't matter. Like, we have a policy that's no more than three off a day, whether you're being a plumber or you're doctor appointment or your vacation. Our policy is 3 people off a day. So the reason you take it off is it doesn't matter. But our policy is how many people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not any of our business. Well, I mean, why do they do that? Because we need to guideline to
I mean, I think where the manager comes into play is if they're keeping track of their employee and they're seeing that balance dwindling, being able to have that conversation of saying, if you were to be taken really ill or something like that, just be aware that your balance is getting low.
Right.
Kind of thing. But I know.
So we can do some follow-up on that and try to get some clarification. And I do also like Nancy's idea about getting it out in the paw print.
Yeah,
in the new...
I'll work with Alan and Jennifer Love and see if
right.
there's ways that we can
right.
do more to get general word and understanding.
Right. In the new and improved paw print, right?
That's
everybody,
nice.
Right? Have you noticed?
Nice.
It's
very
nice. It's a lot...
What I would caution against only though there is what we communicate and the connection between how it's being administered. Because what I would hate for that to do with a positive intent of communication goes to colleges and units where it's being maybe interpreted or administered differently.
Yeah.
And then that creates a big group of unhappy employees in a work group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be more beneficial once we work through with Alan and Lauren and maybe HR counsel and really try to get some concrete or some clarity to what's being thought about around campus to then maybe communicate that.
I mean, the Q&A is active on the website.
Even if we more broadly publicize the Q&A, it helps. Listen, because you're not going to have unhappy employees if you're basically ignorant employees.
Those are pretty standard. Those are that above all else should be done in uniform. Right? Talking about whether somebody wants to use it in the comments column, I don't think that's in the Q&A. That's something we can bring back and talk about.
Okay, so we will follow up on that. Great. It is almost 1:30. I would like to move that we extend the meeting by 10 minutes. I do want to give everybody a copy of the responses. And I want to have some time to talk about it. If we don't want to extend, then we will hold off on handing out the responses. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to move to closed session.